Hello, Ed.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good. What are we doing here?
Oh, this is a bit weird, isn't it? We find ourselves on a Friday night.
Friday night.
Because we've got nothing better to do, apparently.
The highlight of the week.
The highlight of the week. We are watching the World Cup draw, which
this is what everyone's asked for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Us doing a podcast whilst watching the World Cup draw.
Exactly. So we're joined in the studio, Joe and I, by producer Tom. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. And you've put the flags up again.
I have.
I have to say you've done well at replicating.
Thank you. And I've made a little bit of a... I've put some important countries behind you as well, Joe.
Go on, which ones?
Well, Bangladesh.
That's the Seychelles there.
The Seychelles.
Lovely.
There's Great Britain.
Yeah, this
Tunisia. Is that Tunisia? They're in it.
Yeah, Tunisia.
They're in the World Cup. Well, I know what I'm talking about.
Well, we are going to be just sort of keeping you abreast of what's going on in the draw. And the ceremony has started. So we've not missed a load. Tom's going to be keeping an eye on what's going on in the United States. We've currently, all you've missed is Andrea Bocelli singing Nessun Dorma.
I'm sure he does that every time, does he not?
He certainly does, you know, and he probably commands a decent fee to do it as
I'd
well.
I imagine so. He's very good. I did catch a little bit and I was impressed. He's very good at what he does.
He is very, very
he's
good.
He's like Arjen Robben, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know exactly what he's going to do.
And you can't stop it.
It's brilliant.
And aside from Andrea Bocelli, we've had Heidi Klum and Kevin Hart coming out to host. A very big height difference there, yeah. With Heidi Klum playing the role of big woman up top.
Yeah, sure. Big woman on the right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the big man, little man partnership.
Yeah,
there. Heidi Klum, you know, wearing a gold sparkly dress, and Kevin Hart looking like he's just popped in after picking up his children from school.
Yeah. It's a nice jumper.
But he could have worn a tux, though, Joe. Come on, it's the draw for the World Cup. So, yes, Tom will be keeping us on top of proceedings, won't you, Tom?
I will. I'll keep you guys informed to the best of my ability, which, frankly, is not a high ability.
It's fine.
When it comes to football, at least.
We're also going to chat about the groups, the teams as they come out later on. You know, what it means, who's playing what, and just sort of give you a little bit of information about some of the teams that you may or may not have heard of, and the sort of, you know, the sort of the dark horses to look out for and all that sort of stuff. And I must admit, Joe, sort of right from moment one here, a lot of my information I'm getting from journalists who've done a lot more research than I have.
The thing is that they've got a lot more time on their hands than you do.
But in particular, I'm going to take a lot of my information from an ESPN article written by Tor Christian Carlson. So thank you, Tor Christian, because this is, definitely going to be helping us out a lot here. But Joe, I think it's really important that we start with England.
Sure.
Okay. Look, it's the draw, so officially we can get excited about the World Cup. Let's start with England. Should we be excited about this World Cup?
Yeah, I think we should. I think this is quite widely seen as the best squad we've had for a long time, the last few years. We've got some great players. We've got a proven manager that can win trophies, who isn't bothered about past this World Cup. He is fully focused on this World Cup. And I don't mind that at all.
You got to sort of admit that when it comes to Tuchel, what he may have, and it could be just because of his personality, but also, like you say, just because of the sort of the short tenure, the short assignment that he's got, is that there's no room for sentimentality, is there? You know, there's been a lot of this discussion about Bellingham and how much Bellingham plays and whether he can fit into this squad and all that sort of stuff. Tuchel doesn't really care about the next tournament, does he?
He doesn't, and he's already said that he's not going to try and shoehorn Bellingham, Foden, Palmer all into this team. He kind of has that distance from, like you say, the sentimentality of this team, what it means to be England manager, that he can just look at this black and white, and this is the team that is going to do the job. So I think there is reason to be optimistic.
I think other reasons to be optimistic for England. Harry Kane, it's it feels like a different Harry Kane, doesn't it? Sort of at the moment, compared to, I don't know, the last few tournaments where we've sort of gone in thinking, well, Harry Kane will probably lead the line, but he's not the same sort of player that he was. And yet, after his time at Bayern, he's been a rejuvenated player, hasn't he?
He is. He looks a lot less worn out, I think. I think his role's definitely changed to a deeper role. He also looks great. Mm. I don't know if you admire him like I do, but he looks fantastic.
Okay.
he just looks refreshed. His hair's looking lovely. He's wearing white boots.
Maybe it's that sort of maybe it's the mountain water of Bavaria. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The fresh air, who knows. But I think that it is true to say that I think Harry Kane definitely looks like a player who isn't carrying the weight of an entire team on him, which he definitely was at Spurs.
He was, and I think for England as well. And I think almost having that distance away from the Premier League, he's not in the spotlight as much as he was. We're not pinning all our hopes on him. If anything, we're probably pinning them more on Bellingham the last few years. But it doesn't feel like there's a particular player that we're all like, this is the guy that is going to carry us over the line.
And how does that work, do you think, in terms of let's go into the sort of the gameplay of it? You know, how does Kane, do you think, work in this team when he has got so many really exciting players around him? We've talked about the likes of Eze, the likes of Morgan Rogers, the likes of Cole Palmer, who's still to come back from injury. Like, how do you think Kane fits in with that sort of side?
I think he fits in because he's quite happy to get out the way in the build-up. I think he's quite happy to get deep. And actually more, I think that really helps the wingers. That helps Saka, Gordon, or whoever he plays on the wings. Kane dropping deeper, collecting that ball, playing a pass, playing little intricate one-twos with Eze, Rodgers. It helps in the build-up play for him to then arrive late in the box. And yeah, I just think he's quite happy to be involved deeper than he has done before. It's all down to the wingers he plays. And I think this is why in the Euros we struggled a bit, because Kane started to do this. He's playing Foden on the left wing, which he's not a natural left winger at all. You need someone like Gordon. Rodgers can play there too, who is going to be an out-and-out winger, is going to get forward. And I think that's how he fits in.
We're going to touch, I think, in a bit. I've got a few questions to ask you that are a bit more of a looking back to the past, Joe. You know, the nostalgia of
sure.
World Cups past. I've got a few things to ask you about that. But one thing I would say is I feel like for decades, for almost my entire life as an England fan, we've always had those questions about what does England do on the left wing? you know, like just ever since the likes of Darren Anderton, Steve McManaman, right through to do you stick Scholes on the left wing and Lampard and how do you fit him and Gerrard? There's always been this big question about what do you do on the wings? And actually, now we seem to just have this wealth of options, don't we? We can go for whoever.
Yeah, I think we've got a really exciting attacking line. That kind of position, the position under scrutiny kind of has moved to that third centre midfield role, right? I think that's the position now where we're like, who's going to play there? Is it Elliot Anderson? Is it Adam Wharton? Is it Conor Gallagher? But yeah, that left wing position, you're right, we've not had a depth there for a long time. But now, yeah, really exciting position to have, yeah.
So talking about positions, where do you think, you've mentioned that third central midfield role, where do you think elsewhere England, there's some question marks over England's squad selection?
I think left back as well. I think definitely the last Euros, Trippier was playing there and we all saw it wasn't working. You had Trippier on the left back, you had Foden left wing, both of whom favour cutting inside. Whether they're Trippier was right-footed, Foden is a more central player. I still think left back, we don't have an out-and-out left back that looks solid. I think Lewis Hall could be a good shout. Livramento's played there before, but then he's a right-footed player. Luke Shaw, is he going to be fit? Is he good enough to start? I think left back is going to be a question mark, yeah.
And I think that was the major thing from the last World Cup, wasn't it? Is that it was very obvious, like you say, that Kieran Trippier wasn't working just because every time the ball came to him, he had to stop and sort of shift the ball onto his other foot, and it slowed momentum down in the build up, and that was a huge issue for us. Again, in goal, we have quite a lot of options there, don't we, as well, with the likes of James Trafford and Nick Pope, who are going to be knocking on the door of Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, you're going to struggle to dislodge Jordan Pickford there. I think he's the best goalkeeper we've had in a long time. Consistent, great in a penalty shootout, gets in the heads of other strikers. But yeah, that second goalkeeper position is up for grabs. I think James Trafford is starting to regret his move to City because he's not playing at all, and I don't think he will. He's only 2 years younger than Donnarumma, which feels mad.
Yeah.
But it just shows he's not going to get a look in for as long as he's at City, I think. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he looks for a loan move in January to try and get some game time. Ramsdale starting to play at Newcastle, I think that's a really interesting thought as well. But then you're looking at Dean Henderson, who's so consistent, and yeah, I think he is the front runner to be behind Pickford.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If I could just cut in, chaps, to give you an update.
Please do.
President Gianni Infantino, if I said that right.
Yes.
So he's just finished talking, and now we're looking at some celebrities doing some charitable work. But before that, he spoke for 7 minutes straight, and he led the crowd in chants of USA, followed by Canada, and then Mexico. The whole crowd going, USA, USA.
Canada.
Oh, no.
And then Mexico as well. And then Kevin Hart and Heidi Klum, thankfully, interrupted.
That's
I think
excellent.
It's safe to say that this event, even just this, the draw, is going to be entertaining, isn't it? It's going to be almost like the US itself. It is going to be wild. It'll be a roller coaster. But it will be entertaining, that's for sure. And I think that's probably a good slogan for the World Cup.
I mean,
as well.
Funny enough, that's what Gianni said when he came out. We're in the USA, so we have to make a show.
Yes.
I'm also getting a few quotes up on. I've got the BBC website up. The first quote that came from Infantino: "FIFA is the official happiness provider for humanity."
Oh dear.
Not sure. Not sure.
Yeah, well...
I don't think Gianni's met God.
we might have some things to say about that, but listen, it'll be a great event, I'm sure. I know we have touched on some of the morality and ethical issues around the World Cup in our previous episode, which you should definitely give a listen to. And We're not gonna ignore those tonight,
no,
but
we
do want to focus on the sort of more of the on pitch sort of stuff. So let's go back to England, Joe. We've touched on the team. We've touched on sort of the areas of strength and weakness. Why? I'd like to ask you this question. Why do you think England might not win the World Cup? Like, where do you think they're gonna come unstuck in terms of just more broadly, not necessarily in terms of a specific area on the pitch, but where do you think they'll come unstuck if they do?
I mean, obviously, so much of it's about the draw, the look of the draw. Actually, the way Robbie Williams and Nicole Scherzinger
is on stage.
Oh my goodness!
Keep us updated, Tom.
Let me entertain you.
I think. Obviously, it's down to the look of the draw. England can't play, I think it's France, Spain and Argentina until at least the semi-finals.
Yeah.
So that's a positive. But I think the last few tournaments, the problem has been those smaller teams that play a low block. I think that is where England could come unstuck. When it's an open game, they've got players that can run into space and create chances. But when we're trying to come up against a team that is just so defensive, I think that's where it could come unstuck a little bit.
I think let's have a quick look at the potential scenarios for who England might face in this group. And what I'll say at the outset is this is an incredibly complicated to draw, isn't it, Joe?
It is.
It's absolutely mad. What's your understanding briefly on it?
I don't really have one. Okay. It's so complex that it's not... I've just decided it's not worth trying to work out the permutations.
Yes.
Because it's... They do so many rehearsals for these things and it can go wrong and there can be a deadlock where they have to start the whole thing again.
Yeah, we really don't want that. We've got places...
Get home for tea.
We've got places to be tonight. But what I would say is that generally speaking, you're going to find that each group, all 12 groups this year because of the expanded format, will have four teams, and those four teams will be from different confederations, won't they? With the exception of UEFA, because of the amount of European teams that are in there, it's possible to have two teams from Europe in the same group, but that's the only confederation that gets an exemption there. So just looking at England's sort of, you know, potential worst case scenario, in terms of rankings, the worst case scenario would be if we drew Croatia, Panama and Jordan. I mean, okay. First of all, what do you think of that?
I mean, that sounds quite good, doesn't it?
I think it does.
We've beaten Panama in a World Cup before, 6-1, I believe. Mm-hmm. John Stone's got a brace. I could be wrong about that. I don't think I am. I think that sounds quite nice.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with this expanded World Cup. We've seen these lovely stories of Cape Verde and Curaçao qualifying and a few others like that, you know. And actually, one of the big criticisms is, well, are we just allowing very poor countries to come and essentially be embarrassed at the World Cup? And I think that's a fair point. I mean, you know, you try telling that to Curaçao.
I will. I think that's it. I think... and again, we're not going to get too deep into the weeds of criticism, but I think FIFA feel like a bigger tournament equals a better tournament, right?
Yeah,
they think the more teams you can get here, the more you can expand it, the better it is. And look, I think there will be some really nice stories at this World Cup. I think that first Cape Verde goal, if they get one, is going to be a really nice moment. I think there's going to be little pockets of that that's going to be joyful, but actually the overall picture, is it good for the tournament? I think probably not, because I think the group stage is going to be quite dull.
If I could just cut in here, chaps. So Robbie Williams and Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, good pronunciation.
I think I got that right.
Do you know what band she was in, Tom?
Spice Girls.
Pussycat Dolls.
Never mind.
Anyway, they've just finished their song. And if you wanted to gauge a sort of audience reaction to it, I don't know if you know, there's you can like and dislike comments on the BBC Sports journalism feed, and it has 51 likes next to 495 dislikes.
Never mind. People aren't a fan
Didn't sell well with the BBC Sports.
What song
crowd.
Did they do? Do you know?
I don't know if it had a name. I'm afraid I'm not up to date with popular music.
Oh, shit.
Well, never mind. Going back to the draw, I think looking at the possibilities for England, there are potentials for tougher groups than the one I mentioned earlier, Croatia, Panama and Jordan. I think probably the hardest group is there is a prospect that we could draw Morocco, Norway and Jordan. I'd mentioned Jordan before. Now, Jordan, despite being in pot four, are actually, I think, the kind of team that England could become unstuck against. They love to play in that low block and they hit teams. It's all about transition for them and they're good at doing it as well. So it's exactly the kind of team that you could imagine England labouring against for 90 minutes and conceding a late goal.
It already feels like a 1-1.
It does a little bit. And then you look at the other, those other two teams that I just mentioned, Morocco and Norway, they're no pushover either.
There's a lot of teams. I think you think of Norway, they've got Haaland and Ødegaard. There's a lot of teams that are probably quite average but then have that star player ability. I'm thinking, because we can also get, we can also draw against Egypt and they have Marmoush, they have Salah, they have some good players. They could get drawn against Uruguay, who have just hard to play against. So I think there's some tough teams here that England could come unstuck against.
The other thing to note as well is obviously there's a lot of teams who are still yet to qualify. They're in a playoff. Obviously, there's lots of European teams that are in a playoff. The likes of Ireland, Northern Ireland, and Wales all in a playoff. But there's teams in there like Italy, And again, they've obviously not had a great qualifying campaign. They've not had the best of times at most recent World Cups, but you just know that that's going to be a tough game if you draw against them.
They've beaten us before when they've not played well. Famously, the Euros final, that wasn't the best Italian team in history, but they were a great team. They can turn up on the day, and these are tricky teams.
Speaking of other teams for a moment, what sort of teams, Joe, in terms of the broader World Cup, do you think will be up there in terms of the favourites? We've spoken about England, and look, we know they've got a chance, so I think we can say that and not say much more, and hopefully we can keep it quiet. But what about the other teams that are going to be thinking, this is our year?
I mean, it's hard because we're very European football focused, I think. So I think you look at Europe, it has to be Spain are the favourites, I think. They've got such a young squad, but some absolute world beaters in that squad. Again, Argentina will be out to defend their title. It's very hard to defend a World Cup title, but they've got a good squad. Is it written in the stars that Lionel Messi will win his last World Cup, allegedly? Brazil, again, good team, got some good youngsters. But I think you're looking at Europe still. You're looking at Spain, you're looking at France, I think, that have the best squads.
Now, France particularly, I think, because in my opinion, I think they're the pick of the bunch, personally. I worry for Argentina as to whether they have evolved since their last win. The thing about France is that they are so unbelievably difficult to break down. No team in Europe during the qualifying conceded fewer shots than France. They conceded just 23 shots in 6 games whilst qualifying. And that is an absurdly low number. They are just such a difficult team to break down. And again, you sort of look at that, if England and France were to face off, how would England do there? That worries me a bit.
It's going to be really interesting when you look at the style of play of this World Cup, because I think it's quite clear to see that the Premier League this season is super physical, long throws are back, that, like we've spoken about a lot. It's all about getting to those second balls, it's being physical, it's being strong. Is that going to be replicated in the World Cup? I think you look at the style of football in the Champions League, it's a lot weaker, I think, and English teams are doing quite well in
Joe, if I could just interrupt you here.
I hope you're about to interrupt about this bizarre trophy that's just been brought out onto the stage.
A trophy that's been brought out with two sort of hands holding a globe.
Yeah, it looks very weird.
And then before that, there was an interesting advertisement about Donald Trump.
Okay.
It seemed like an advertisement, or it was more rather an announcement that US President Donald Trump has been awarded the first FIFA Peace Prize.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yes. And this is it. Here he is. He's walking out onto the stage to claim this trophy that can only be described as looking like sort of hands coming out of the ground
and grasping the world. Earth in its fingers.
It's very weird.
I know it's supposed to be about peace, but it's almost a bit of a scary image.
It is. It looks like it's straight out of a horror film, doesn't it?
Yes.
And he's been
awarded a medal also.
Wow.
And I imagine now he will do a speech.
I imagine he can keep that trophy next to the Club World Cup in his office.
In the White House office. Let's talk about some of the other home nations, Joe. I mean, really, the only home nation I think that we can talk about, which is Scotland.
Yeah.
Because they're the only other home nation that are definitely also going to the World Cup. What do we think about their chances? Are they just there to make up the numbers? I mean, I really hope not.
I mean, that feels harsh to say, but so much of what Scotland have been good at is how good they are at Hampden Park, I think, and what the crowd does for them there. We watched the Scotland-Denmark game, and the crowd played such a huge role in that game in roaring them on. And I think Scotland in a tournament is a different prospect. I think it's a big occasion. It's their first one in 30 years. I hope they're not just there to make up the numbers. We've already said that it's actually going to be quite easy to get out of a group in the World Cup. So I think there could be some joy there, but how far they'll go, I'm not sure. I think they'll be delighted to get to a knockout game, and that's exciting for them.
Absolutely. And I think that the reason it's... because I agree with you, I think it's difficult to see Scotland really having a great World Cup. In terms of the fans will turn up, and that will be an incredible environment, an incredible atmosphere, and that will roar the team on. In terms of just looking at the way they qualified, they don't see a lot of the ball. So on average, 45% possession in their games. But crucially as well, they don't play it long very often. Mm. And so they've very much relied on set pieces.
And they don't really have a consistent striker either, do they?
No, no. That said, look, let's not write them off. You know,
absolutely not.
They are going to be there.
But you just look at that squad and you wonder who's got the big game experience there. You're looking at McTominay and Robertson, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to need to grab the game by the scruff of the neck to get them through.
And sort of touching on what we talked about the other day with Robertson and how emotionally got after that they qualified, talking about Diogo Jota, like. There is an argument to say, well, actually, for the likes of McTominay and Robertson and the rest of the Scotland boys, this sort of means that little bit more to them, doesn't it? This is the first time they've qualified since France 98, and that will help spur them on a little bit, that extra few percent.
Especially because Robertson's the captain. I think this is going to mean so much to him going to this World Cup, and it's going to give them that extra motivation. Do it for Robertson, do it for Diogo Jota and his family. So there is that extra bit of incentive for them to give this a real go.
Now, Joe, I want to talk about some classic World Cup moments. I've actually got a couple of quiz questions to ask you.
Okay, lovely.
But before we jump in there, I want to know, what is, in your opinion, the defining World Cup memory that you have for you? You actually mentioned the other day seeing Torsten Frings score in the first game of the 2006 World Cup. When you think of a defining World Cup moment, whether that be England or not, what jumps out to you? What springs to mind for you?
Gosh, I mean, there's a lot. Obviously, my first World Cup I remember was 2006. So the Zidane headbutt was just iconic, wasn't it? Just a huge moment. His last game going out of retirement. I think my favourite World Cup moment, from an England perspective, it was that penalty shootout win against Colombia. The first one I'd seen us win. That was huge. But I loved the opening game of the South Africa World Cup in 2010. South Africa against Mexico. And Shabalala scored an absolute rocket.
Wasn't that great?
And Peter Drury was on commentary and he said, "Goal, Bafana, Bafana." And it was just, what a huge moment. It was the first game with the Vuvuzelas. It was all quite exotic and exciting. So I think that is a moment that stands out for me. How about you?
Well, I would say the moment for me, and this is going to sound strange because it was a very depressing World Cup moment, but I remember really distinctly when England were knocked out of the 2002 World Cup in Japan and South Korea. If you remember, that was a game against Brazil, and we took the lead in that game, and we were knocked out due to a freak Ronaldinho goal from a free kick. I don't know if you remember that,
yes,
Joe. The deep free kick. And it was just this sort of launched into the box, but he catches it wrong, and it basically sails straight over David Seaman's head. And Seaman, who was a stunning, stunning goalkeeper, he just looked so embarrassed and forlorn, and he had a ponytail, which didn't help the situation as well. And it was one of those moments that, as an England fan, you thought, oh, we're actually playing quite well against Brazil here, and that went in. But it was more just the setting. So that World Cup, because of the kickoff times, we'd been invited. It was early in the morning, so I want to say maybe the kickoff was like 6:30 or 7 in the morning. And our school had opened up so that we could go in early. And the whole school like piled in, and we all had like bacon sandwiches and watched England get knocked out.
and then
had to go to double physics after that, but it was absolutely mad. So that's one World Cup memory that really sticks in my head.
both Donald Trump and Gianni have just finished complimenting each other. Interesting thing about the way Donald Trump pronounces Gianni's name, he says Gianni. Uh-huh. He says Johnny.
Like Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny. Johnny Infantino.
I'd like to thank, thank you, Johnny. And I'm like, who's Johnny?
I like that. That's
who's
good.
Who's this Johnny boy?
Yeah, I've just seen the trophy. It's terrifying.
It's a bit odd.
There's so many hands.
This is the FIFA Peace Trophy, which is odd.
I wouldn't want that.
Aggressively scary.
Yeah. Going back to World Cup, Joe, and thinking about World Cup memories, I now want to take you outside of your memories,
okay, and
looking,
please do.
Looking back over World Cup history, and if there was a World Cup moment that you wish you could have seen, like or a World Cup specifically that you wish you could have watched, you know, maybe from back in the past, is there one that you sort of seen that you think, oh man, that would have been great?
Gosh, that's a hard question, Ed.
It is. I'm asking all the philosophical questions.
I assume
today.
I can't just say 66.
I mean, you can if you want.
It probably would be. I mean, I'd be a fool not to say 66. I think Italia 90. I think I've seen a lot of. I would have loved to have been alive for that. I think that looked like a great
dour
tournament.
Football, Joe. Yeah. That doesn't sound like you.
Well,
it sounds more like an answer I'd give. But, you know.
Gents, you know, the World Cup is on stage.
It looks shiny.
It has been brought on by Argentina's last manager who won the World Cup last year. Lionel or something. Oh, I'm
Lionel
so sorry.
Scaloni.
That was it. I thought it sounded like a pasta.
He's brought the World Cup back.
Yes.
You know.
What a flex that is.
Yeah.
Also, here's the World Cup. I've had it for 4 years. You can have it back.
Yeah.
Interesting numbers here. 188 days to the next World Cup. Also, only 8 nations have claimed the World Cup. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
That's surprisingly few.
Not that many teams are in with the shout. And England are one of those few teams, Joe. But as you mentioned, 66, a huge occasion. Italia 90 definitely has some kind of sort of weird nostalgic glamour about it, sort of the haze of the 90s. For me, it'd be 1970.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, I've just been to Mexico. But part of the reason I actually went is because I do have this slight obsession with the 1970 World Cup. Because it was just, for me, it was the defining moment where football went from being this sport that, you know, the lads who'd just done a shift down the pits and, you know, wearing cloth caps. And 66 had a bit of that still about it, didn't it? You know, those old brown leather footballs. To all of a sudden, footballers were celebrities, footballers were athletes, and the game got a lot quicker. You look at some of the footage from 1970 compared to 1966, the game is infinitely quicker. There's something about it was the first World Cup in colour as well, so it feels more glamorous. And if I could go back and watch any World Cup, I think it'd be 1970.
Some interesting quotes from Donald Trump's speech here. He says, Gianni has done an incredible job. You have set a new record on ticket sales.
Has he?
An interesting thing to pick up on. And he also said that the world is a safer place now. This is in response to his Peace Prize. The USA was not doing well a year ago. Now we are the hottest country in the world right now, which, of course, is a concern for the World Cup, isn't it?
It is.
No one's going to worry about that.
I don't know if that's a boast, is it?
Yeah. Come on. We don't need that sort of stuff, Donald. Right, Joe.
Go on.
Quiz time.
Gosh.
Are you excited?
On. Yeah, I wasn't ready for this.
Okay. I've just got a few questions to fire at you. So, here you go. This is multiple choice, but I'm going to see if you get the answer or see if you might know the answer before I give you the multiple choice.
Okay, fine.
What do Panama boss Thomas Christiansen, Canada coach Jesse Marsh, and Uruguay coach Marcelo Bielsa all have in common?
Is it to do? Do you want an answer now? Or
well, what would you say?
I'd say it's to do with Leeds. They've all managed Leeds.
Okay, so your answers are they didn't play professionally. They've previously managed Leeds. They've each won Olympic gold, and they led different nations to Qatar 2022.
While you're thinking about that, Joe, little countdown for you guys. We're 12 minutes from when the draw should be starting.
Goodness, yeah, we need that to hurry up.
Yeah. I mean, my immediate thought was Leeds. Is it all of them?
I will say right now, I am taking this quiz directly from FIFA's website. And so there is one answer.
There is one answer. Well, it would be... Ooh. Now, Jesse Marsh, did he take Canada? He took Canada to Qatar, or did he join afterwards? I think he did take them there because he went into that quite quickly. Bielsa, he wasn't. I'm going to go, they've all managed Leeds.
You're going to go, they've all managed Leeds? That is the correct answer. Yes. Well done. Excellent stuff.
Does that count towards our quiz tally of the season?
No, it doesn't. This is friendly. This is international break. This does not count. The stats.
Just to remind ourselves of the scores of that. Currently, Joe has in the lead by 5. Ed, you are a little behind at 1.
Just a little behind.
I don't think you need to.
Can we talk about our whilst there's a little break? Can we talk about what we learnt about our listeners this week, Ed?
Oh, please do. Yeah.
So if you're a Spotify user,
yeah.
Obviously there's been a big week, Spotify Wrapped. This is when you find out what song you've listened to the most.
This is when parents find out how much they've had to listen to, you know, something awful on their own Spotify account.
Like kids pop.
To placate their own children.
There's been some fun revelations in the UCB office this week. Someone, I won't mention any names, but someone that doesn't have any children found that their second most listened to genre was lullabies, and they have no idea where that came from.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, we managed to see our Spotify rap, didn't we?
Yes.
The big man up top.
We've got a lot of stats from what our listeners like to listen to elsewhere. Now, unsurprisingly, our biggest listener base is in the United Kingdom. But Ed, where's our second
So second place, would you believe, is not Ireland, which is sort of what you'd think.
You'd think so.
You know, it's not the United States.
No.
It's Sweden.
Sweden.
So the second most popular country for Big Man Up Top listeners is Sweden, which makes me think we must have some small cohort in Sweden, and I want to know who they are.
Yeah.
So if you're a listener to the Big Man Up Top and you are from Sweden, please get in touch. Email us podcasts@ucb.co.uk. I don't know, maybe we can start a club.
I think we should, a Swedish club.
For the Swedish listeners, I think we'd all like to say as well, Taxamiket.
Is it as thank you, isn't
which
it?
I think is thank you very much for listening.
Other things we learn is that our listeners are big Swifties.
Are they?
Yes, the third most listened to artist from our listeners is Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Interesting. Also, huge fans of The Gruffalo by Julia Donaldson.
Who isn't?
Fair play.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. But that is just a lovely point to just say thank you so much for your support over the months and years of us doing this podcast. We're very, very grateful. Yeah. And it's lovely to learn about you all and what other nonsense you're listening to as well, aside from this. Do you want another quiz question, Joe?
Yeah, may as well. It looks like Infantino's back and doing his speech, Tom.
We're back, and looks like the draw bowls are out. I wasn't expecting bowls.
Don't you worry.
But the Prime Minister of Canada. I don't know. I was expecting something that wasn't see-through.
Okay.
Honestly.
Oh, it's all got to be transparent.
Yes.
I see.
We've got to make sure we're all above board here with the World Cup draw.
Prime Minister of Canada and President of Mexico, and now Donald Trump.
Lovely.
On the stage to draw from the bowls.
Is Rio Ferdinand out yet?
Is Rio Ferdinand involved in this?
Well, he was apparently.
It feels strange for him to be amongst this group of people.
Yeah. I think
no shade on Rio Ferdinand.
No, but certainly in terms of world leaders and then Rio Ferdinand, it does feel a bit odd.
England's fifth greatest centre-back.
Fair enough. Right, here's your question, Joe. Here's another quiz question. Are you ready?
Yeah, go on.
Which of these qualified nations has Curaçao boss Dick Advocaat not previously coached?
I like that question.
So which one has he not previously coached?
Okay.
Belgium, the Netherlands, Croatia, or the Republic of Korea?
Oh, he screams Republic of Korea. Surely. Croatia, Belgium, Netherlands. Now, Netherlands feels obvious because he's Dutch.
Yeah.
I think it would be strange if he hasn't. So I think it's between Belgium and Croatia, and I think I'm going to lock in Croatia.
See, I don't know the answer to this.
Okay. What do you think?
I think it's Belgium.
Really?
I think it's Belgium. But I'm going to go with your answer of Croatia. Kind of you. Are you ready? Croatia is correct. Well done. Yes, absolutely. Well done.
Netherlands and Belgium. That must be quite unique to do both.
I think so. I mean, certainly he's one of those managers who he loves international football, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just sort of slightly different from the run of the mill. Do you think it's harder, or do you think it's more chilled out? I don't know.
It's just different, isn't it? I think some managers excel at club level, some managers excel at international. I think that's going to be what's interesting about Tuchel as well. Going back to England, is that he's proven in a club setting, day to day training, man management. I think this is his first international job, so it's going to be interesting how he copes with that. Obviously, qualifying has gone quite well, but yeah, we'll see.
Now, did you know, Joe, that this World Cup in North America, the US, Mexico, and Canada, they don't have one mascot; they have three.
Wow!
They have three mascots, three animals. So, your next quiz question—it's not really a quiz question, really, but just. What animals do you think they've gone for picking the three mascots? And obviously, there is sort of one for each nation.
I'm going to go for a Canadian moose.
Ooh.
Correct. Maple the moose is one
cute.
Of them. Yeah, he's wearing a red shirt, yes.
Mexico. What animals are in Mexico, Tom?
Well, the animal on the flag is like... it's like a kind of bird, like a bird of prey or something like that.
Falcon?
But I don't know about a falcon. I think more of a kind of an eagle. But I think that might be an American shout because they're big on bald eagles.
They're big on eagles, aren't they?
So I'm wondering if perhaps Mexico could be some kind of cat, perhaps. Okay. Like something maybe a bit... I don't know why I'm drawn to cat. Maybe like I don't know if they have leopards or something like that.
Let's go for a Mexican cat.
Can I just say, producer Tom has absolutely nailed it. Zayu the Jaguar.
Oh,
for
Jaguar!
For Mexico. Oh, yeah, no, you're having it. I'm giving you that.
No, have it. Good.
And the United States have a bald eagle.
Oh, Tom.
Called, are you ready?
I know my national animals.
Is it Benny?
No, it's called Clutch.
Oh, no.
So we've got Maple the Moose, Zayu the Jaguar, and Clutch the Bald Eagle.
Wow.
Representing, yeah.
Just as the Peace Prize does to the globe.
I think it's supposed to be Clutch, as in like a clutch moment in a game, which is a very American
coming
phrase.
In clutch.
Rather than, you know, accelerator, brake, clutch. I think it's going for that.
I would have gone
for Boris personally.
Yeah, Boris the Bald Eagle. But there you go. That's the they're the World Cup mascots.
Chaps, the first draw is upon us.
Oh, the first ball. Okay.
First draw from
we can come back to this chat later, Joe. Tell us what's going on here.
The Canadian Prime Minister is drawing from his bowl. He's drawn a ball and he's about to open it up, and that says Canada on it.
Canada.
So that's a Canadian.
So I think these first three are quite premeditated.
Yeah, it's going to be the three host teams, isn't it?
Yeah.
And quite interestingly, we're watching this with very little idea of what's going on. But Canada's name has been drawn
almost suspiciously.
Now, interestingly, obviously we've touched on Canada being managed by former Leeds manager Jesse Marsh. Did you know that they have a style, Jesse Marsh's Canada, that they call maple pressing?
What does it mean?
I've absolutely no idea. They play a tight, aggressive 4-4-2, defending on the front foot with a high line. So there you go.
The Mexican president has drawn Mexico, and Donald Trump is about to draw the third ball.
The United States.
And I think I'm willing to guess it will be the United States.
She was delighted about drawing that.
She was. Yeah. I wonder if she knows. I feel like it's been planted.
Well, we shall see. But Mexico have been drawn in Group A, and Canada have been drawn in Group B. And yes, you are assuming that USA are about to be drawn in the other spot, which is actually Group D yeah. for some reason. We don't quite know why, but yes, out are the three hosts. There they are, and their state leaders of all happen to have picked their country, which is great.
Definitely,
but yes,
for sure, yeah.
Canada. The maple press, maple pressing. I thought that was particularly funny. It's all about sort of high pressing, that sort of thing. Canada have got some exciting players in the squad as well. You know, they've got the likes of Jonathan David who in an attacking role. They do have some great players, and you know they'll want to make sure with a World Cup sort of that's taking place at least partially in their country that they actually turn up.
I think they could be a bit of a surprise team. Like you say, they've got some good players. They were fan favourites at the last World Cup. They also have Alphonso Davies at left back. He's kind of one of those players that he's a left back for his club but plays everywhere for his country. He's really exciting. I think they will surprise quite a few people, I think.
I think we need to briefly touch on the other two host nations as well before the draw continues. Mexico, they're in a bit of a funny place, really. They like to be a possession based side, but they've sort of struggled to sort of fit both strikers of Raul Jimenez and Santi Jimenez into the side together. It's the classic Gerard Lampard situation.
Yeah,
they've both
yeah.
played very well, so they've tried to sort of fit them into a 4-2-2, but the manager prefers to play with three up front. With one central striker, so it's going to be sort of interesting how they work with this sort of double number nine problem.
Yeah, and I think quite a few countries will have that problem trying to fit players in. Football has changed. You have strikers that are better starting. You have strikers that are better from the bench. So both of those strikers will get their fair amount of game time. And I think football is moving away from the starters and that kind of thing. So I think that's quite a nice problem to have.
Now the United States find themselves with a very familiar manager as well. If Jesse Marsh managing Canada wasn't good enough, the United States have Maurizio Pochettino, don't they, in charge? What do you make of that as an appointment?
I think it's a huge appointment for them. I think I was so surprised when I heard that he'd gone there. I think he's very well renowned around Europe and around the world. I think he could have got a really good club job. And I think the USA have done so well to get him in. I think if they hadn't, he'd be back at Spurs by now, probably, and struggling to make that squad work. Great manager. I think he's going to bring a lot. I think clearly USA have gone hard on this World Cup. It's their World Cup, and they want a well-renowned coach, and they've got one, and I think he's a great manager.
Now they've tended to build the team in recent times around Christian Pulisic, haven't they? Like a really outstanding generational talent for them.
Yeah, and he's kind of one of those players that maybe only the last few years has kind of flourished in the way that we thought he would. So I think he's kind of coming into form just at the right time for this World Cup. And he's got some good players around him. Tyler Adams in the middle is a very good player. Brendan Aaronson as well, that we spoke about in the Premier League. They've got quite a good squad.
They tend to play with three at the back and have Pulisic in this sort of main central creative role, and everything sort of goes through him. But interestingly, they were unbeaten in five against 2026 bound teams with a +8 goal difference. So they're kind of one of those teams that, you know, the ups and downs in qualifying, but have finished well. And I think that's always a good thing, isn't it? As you're coming into a World Cup to sort of have that sort of momentum. So we're keeping an eye on the FIFA World Cup draw. We've just seen a pretty amazing performance from Lauryn Hill. Joe, there's also been an announcement about the halftime show, hasn't there? For the World Cup final.
There has. So it's been officially announced during the ceremony by Infantino. This is something we kind of already knew was coming, though. Do you remember there was that whole chat of Chris Martin was going to arrange it?
Yeah.
Doja Cat is going to perform. Thames, J Balvin. Doesn't sound like Coldplay have put themselves in there yet.
No. Well, I mean, interestingly, well, here's the first question, Joe. Halftime shows at World Cup finals. What do you think?
I mean, my immediate thought, and I think this will remain my thought, is that I'm against it.
Yeah.
I think
so. Am I?
there's no chance they're going to fit that in 15 minutes. So undoubtedly, this is going to be half hour halftime.
Yeah.
I think, and that is disastrous for these footballers.
And you do have to sort of, again, just sort of raises questions about the sort of tone deafness, shall we say, of footballing authorities when it comes to fans. Like, do real football fans actually want a halftime show? I don't think they really do.
No, I don't think they do either. And I think it's putting, again, we spoke the other day, but it's making this into entertainment rather than sport, which I think in some elements is okay. But I think when it comes to the detriment of sporting ability, physicality, I think there's already a problem with fixture congestion, and this isn't going to help.
Let's be honest, though. There was never going to be a World Cup that was even partially taking place in the United States that didn't have a halftime show.
It's their thing, isn't it?
It's absolutely their thing. Yeah. And, you know, and to be honest, I'm sort of broadly... look, I'm against the concept of a halftime show at a football game, but I'm broadly okay with it in this instance because it's the United States. Like, what I do love about the World Cup, and I think something, very genuine comment, is that I think we've lost something of World Cups having their own individual identity.
Yeah.
And actually, like, when we think of, like, USA 94, like, I think of that incredible opening ceremony.
Is that a Diana Ross?
Diana Ross missing a penalty.
That's all you think of, isn't
it? But like, that was part of, you know, it's part of what America was and what America brings culturally. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's okay to celebrate that. And I think, look, in a World Cup final that will take place in New York, I think that makes sense to have a halftime show. So I'm not in favor of halftime shows in general. But in this instance, I'm okay with it.
But you then know that the chat afterwards is going to be like, how good was that? Let's do it again.
Let's do this every year.
And then we do it every year.
Yeah, exactly. So and I'm with
we're
you.
Not good at being like, that was good, but that was good for that time.
That was good for that thing. Absolutely. I've got another quiz question for you, Joe.
Oh, go on then, Ed. Yeah.
Are you ready? I think this is quite hard. England's final goal in their 6-2 win over Iran at Qatar 22 was set up by a tournament record 35 passes. Do you remember this goal?
I remember the game.
Yeah.
I do remember the game.
Do you remember where you were?
I was in the UCB kitchen. Mostly downstairs,
Oh, very good.
It was a lunchtime.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, I do remember that. So, yes, that final goal in their 6-2 win set up by a tournament record 35 passes, but who finished off the move? Was it Raheem Sterling, Jack Grealish, Marcus Rashford, or Callum Wilson?
Ooh.
Now, again, I don't know the answer until we lock one in. So I'm interested to know who you think, but I'll give you my thoughts as well.
I think it might be Callum Wilson.
He
was definitely at that tournament, and I just have a vague memory of him coming on in that game, and he feels like the kind of player that scores the six.
See, for me, because I was trying to think of it, I was thinking going through Raheem Sterling. I don't think he played much of a part in that World Cup, did he?
No. Now, Jack Grealish
is who I was thinking.
Was
of.
This the game where he scored and he did that that celebration?
Quite possibly.
There was that video of him speaking to a fan, and the fan said, "If you score at the World Cup, will you do this celebration?"
Yeah, so my gut feeling was Jack Grealish.
I'm happy to go with Jack Grealish.
Should we go with Jack Grealish?
Yeah, let's do that.
Tom, have you got any thoughts?
Jack Grealish has quite big calves, doesn't he?
Yes. He does. Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. Good thoughts, Tom.
Yeah, yeah, very good, very good. We're going to go with Jack Grealish. Is correct.
Oh, very
yes,
good.
It is. Well done. Well done, team. Yeah, that's good. Tom, have we missed anything in the World Cup draw?
No, not particularly.
I did notice Kevin Hart's back out.
Kevin Hart is back. He was gone for a while. He's come back.
Looking sheepish.
He's
still in his jumper.
He's still in his jumper. I'm dressed better than Kevin Hart right now. Yeah. But I think we're getting closer to the actual drawing of it all.
Now, I want you to look back. We started touching on the topic of travel at this World Cup. I wanted to sort of throw out some of the names of where some of these cities where these games are going to take place to you, Joe.
Yeah.
And just sort of see if you had any thoughts about what it might be like to see a World Cup game in some of these cities, because I think it's absolutely fantastic. The thing with looking at this World Cup is that I think for the first time, it's a World Cup that isn't across a country, it is across an entire continent, and a very, very big one at that, spanning four time zones, I believe. So you've got the Western region, and you've got games in LA, San Francisco, Seattle, and Vancouver. What do you think an LA World Cup game is going to be like, apart from just oppressively hot?
I feel hot right now. Sorry, I'm getting very distracted by this.
Matthew McConaughey's on screen.
This fake phone call between Ferdinand and Infantino.
Yeah, there seems to be some sketch comedy going on here.
We don't need this. It's called A Call from the President, Act 1.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, a game in LA. It sounds hot. It sounds glamorous. I can only imagine the outfits you're going to see there in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I think it's all right.
That's it. Is when I think of football, soccer in LA, I think of the Rose Bowl. I think of you know just oppressively hot weather, for, you know, very, very unsuitable for football.
The height of summer as well.
I think that'll be great. Vancouver is, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, is a wonderful city for football. Actually,
is it cold there?
No, not in the summer. Okay. It's equivalent to a summer in Vancouver is equivalent to a good summer in the UK.
Okay,
so you're talking sort of mid to high 20s, maybe low 30s, depending on how hot it actually is. But they have a beautiful stadium in Vancouver. Seattle, of course, really, really great sporting heritage as well. So quite a lot of exciting things down that that West Coast. Looking at the Central region, you've got two cities in Texas, Dallas and Houston. You've got Kansas City. I'm not quite sure what Kansas City's footballing heritage is, but
they're known for their American football, aren't they? Kansas City Chiefs.
They are, yeah, certainly, yeah. They've been quite dominant in the last few years. But then also three cities in Mexico as well. So you've got Guadalajara, Mexico City, and Monterrey. And so again, they're going to be very, very excited to host the World Cup.
The draw conductor is coming out. We just had a third bit of sketch from Salma Hayek. Matthew McConaughey, obviously, and seemed to be the overall message was to not worry about the draw and enjoy the moment. But once that's over, now Rio Ferdinand is out on the...
Here
on
he
the
is.
Stage.
Yeah, he's,
and apparently, is he British, Rio?
He yes. certainly yeah. is. Yeah. One of the greatest English centre backs of all time.
Yeah, he was described as such. So there
superb,
we are.
Superb, superb. Well, we'll see what balls get picked out shortly after. I'm sure they'll have a good old chat with him. But just going back to my trip to Mexico, Joe, which is the most important thing.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it back.
When I was in Guadalajara, this is a really interesting fact that I learned. When I was in Guadalajara, I was told by a local that they don't support broadly. They don't support Mexico in Guadalajara.
Really?
They support Brazil.
Interesting.
And it's a whole sort of weird thing about how, from back in the day, Guadalajara players never got picked for the national team. And it was very Mexico City Central.
Fine.
You know, like the London bias and the whole sort of thing there. You know, okay. Liverpool fans often, you know, talked about how they like the city more than the country and all that. So you tend to find that Guadalajara, their home team is Brazil. A lot of football fans in
Interesting.
Guadalajara. So there you go. And then coming across to the other side of the country and the eastern region, we've got some really exciting cities there. We've got Atlanta and Miami in the south. We've got Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Toronto up in Canada. But yeah, all up that sort of west side. What do you make of some of those cities, Joe? Do they strike you as football cities, you know, to host a big footballing event?
Sorry, you'll have to say it again.
There's another sketch on
with
four British children and Rio.
Now I'm trying to host this podcast.
Yeah,
Joe,
and, I'm getting very distracted.
And
you're getting really
distracted.
You're going to have to say it again.
By this very bizarre situation. What I was saying was this eastern sort of coast, you've got two cities in the south, Miami, Atlanta, and then you've got Philadelphia, New York, Boston, and Toronto that are a bit further north. What do you think about those sorts of cities hosting football? I've got to be honest, the thought of a game in Miami really fills me with quite a lot of excitement. That sounds really cool.
And I think they're really trying to make Miami a footballing city, aren't they? Inter Miami is obviously quite recently become a thing. Lionel Messi playing for them. David Beckham's team, of course. So, I think that, again, is going to be glamorous. I think there's going to be a lot of tank tops on show. Is that a Miami thing?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that feels exciting. The other ones, what were the other ones you said?
Well, you got Boston, New York, Philadelphia, and Toronto up in the north.
I mean, they all feel quite glamorous, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think so. And especially, you know, looking at the stadiums as well, is that you've got these... The stadiums broadly, particularly the ones in America, obviously are NFL stadiums. They're the ones that are most sort of easily converted into a football stadium. And they are, some of them are absolutely fantastic. The stadium in Atlanta is just stunning. And so there are some really sort of high spec infrastructure things going on here in this World Cup, isn't there?
Well, it goes back to what we said on Tuesday's episode, is that the Americans know how to host these events, and we love that. They know how to put on a show. Stadiums are great. I think the infrastructure around this World Cup is actually really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to seeing some of these stadiums and, yeah, these locations.
Well, we are about to bring you more of the draw. They're currently going through this bizarre sort of sketch with Rio Ferdinand.
I don't understand why these have to be sketches.
Well, this isn't so much of a sketch,
Tom?
Just a more of a creative way of describing the rules of the draw, and essentially where countries are going to go, how they're going to be drawn, and they've entrusted it to four pretty intelligent British children, frankly.
Fair enough. It does wonders for us. And
we look good, the
world right perception of our education system. I really hope they get on with this, because
I'm hungry.
I've got a pizza waiting for me at home, Joe. I need to hurry up and get back home. But I've got a quiz question for you.
Another one.
Are you excited about this one?
I am, yes. Okay. We've got a good record so far.
We've done okay. So, this question... Scotland have played at 8 World Cups previously, but have been eliminated at which stage on each occasion? The group stage, the last 16, the quarterfinal, or the semi-final?
I mean, surely one of the first two, group stage, last 16.
Well, yeah, almost certainly.
I mean, you are going to know this more than I am. Do you know the answer to this?
I've got a gut feeling, but my gut feeling is they never got past the group stage.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm landing too, but I didn't know if you remembered any time.
I can't remember. My only memory of them at the World Cup was France 98, which I do remember quite well. And I remember the opening game of France 98 was Scotland versus Brazil.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And with John Collins scoring a penalty for the Tartan Army. But my gut feeling says that they've never got past the group stage. Should we lock that in?
I think so, yeah.
Let's lock that in and see if it is right. It is! It is right! Sorry, Scotland. I think, going back to what we were saying earlier, there is a real chance for them to actually, with this new format, get out of the group stage. So let's hope they can do that.
Tom, are you enjoying this so much?
They're introducing Wayne Gretzky.
He's a famous ice hockey player, famously.
Oh. I thought this was the Football World Cup. hang on.
From an entertainment perspective, has it been a good show so far?
Yeah, Yeah, it's had its ups and downs. I've never watched one of these before, I'll admit.
It's a bit like Eurovision.
So I don't have much to... I've never watched that either.
Okay.
I watched the F1 did a similar thing last year on my birthday, and they introduced all the teams and the cars, and after a bit I thought that was a bit draining.
It feels a bit convoluted, doesn't it?
I mean, we've been here for an hour.
Aaron Judge, he's a baseball player.
He's a famous baseball player,
He's on, and I'm not sure.
I believe Tom Brady's coming out. I think they're just bringing out American Canadian.
Oh, Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
He is a giant of the sport.
I really hope he doesn't stand next to Kevin Hart.
I guess this is it. They don't really have any footballing legends, do they?
Yeah.
So they're having to go to other sports.
Nor does Mexico and Canada not have any big names?
Mexico had some
big names in the past, yeah. But certainly this feels like an American dominated proceeding.
They're having to show us, look, we're good at other sports.
Ed, 100 points for you. That's Tom Brady announced on the stage.
Yeah,
Shaquille O'Neal is next to Kevin Hart. The height difference is extraordinary. That is wild.
It's a very unfair show for Kevin Hart. I can see why he didn't dress up. He knew this was how it's going to be missing
for a lot of this.
Exactly. He's probably feeling a little bit self-conscious.
It feels like we're close to this.
These are our drawers.
At what point do we call this a night already?
Well, it's heading that way. You'd like to, because they need to fit in the whole draw and the village people singing YMCA.
Exactly. And which we're not sticking around.
Absolutely not.
I have children at home waiting for me. So, you know.
Kids, Donald Trump performed the YMCA. I had to watch it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Teams in pot one. Here we go, guys.
Okay, yeah. So these are all the top seeded teams.
Go on, Joe. Who's the first name out of the pot?
First name out of the pot is Brazil.
Brazil. Ooh. Now it feels like Brazil are very much sort of, you know, that team that you always think, oh, that, you know, that they'll do well, won't they? You know, that they're kind of that sort of just enigmatic team.
And there's often the thing of the World Cup officially starts once Brazil have played.
Yes.
Which you see them in their yellow.
Absolutely.
They're going to be in Group C.
Yeah, Ancelotti in charge.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see sort of what formation they play with as well. Because they tend to go with three strikers.
Mm. Next ball. Germany in the next ball.
Germany, how do you rate them, Joe, in terms of the way they've been playing? Because it's been a bit of a funny sort of old time for the Germans, despite being this really dominant side for so many years.
Yeah, I mean it's they're so up and down the last few years. It's hard to. They've got some nice players. I think Voltimada is becoming more and more present in that team. Florian Wirtz is picking up form a little bit.
Musiala as well.
Had quite a bad injury this year, so it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in.
Yeah.
Next ball is the Netherlands.
Netherlands next. This bit isn't that interesting, really, is it, Ed? Because they're just going into their groups. So
yeah, that's fine.
We're laying the foundation.
That's okay. Yeah, the Netherlands.
They're in Group F.
Ronald Koeman, of course. You know, and I think like one of the things with him is that I think he's trying to bring back some of that total football of the previous amazing Dutch teams. They've got some great width as well. I think they'll be a really exciting team. I hope they'll be a really exciting team at this World Cup. And also, the Netherlands always look good, don't they? The fans, all that orange.
The orange wall. Belgium are now out as well.
Belgium, yeah.
Group G.
Absolutely. Belgium kind of, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Belgium in terms of the golden generation and all that. And,
yes.
And actually, oddly enough, I think that they've sort of lost a lot of that pressure now. It's gone a bit. So it's now they've got a chance, you know, Jeremy Doku, of course, one of their stars. I think they've got a good chance to do quite well.
Spain,
of course.
National food of Spain? Guess it.
tapas. Can you
paella.
Say tapas?
Paella, of course. Joe, what do you reckon about Spain? Obviously, they are still a possession-based team, but very much they're a lot more, I'd say, a lot more effective than in previous generations,
yeah,
aren't they?
They're a lot less slow build-up than they have been previously, that you think of the Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets days.
The tiki-taka.
They were slow, but they were effective. I think for me, Spain are the favourites.
Argentina in Group J.
Argentina, of course, World Cup champions.
Now, why can't they be in Group I? They've missed a group, though.
I think they just explained, but I missed that. I'm sorry.
it's something to do with the way the pots are.
The sides of the draw, maybe.
We have to briefly touch on Lionel Messi.
Sure.
What do you... I mean, is he just being sort of dragged around? Like, honestly, is he going to be the same player that he was in 22?
Well, we thought that with the last one, didn't we? We thought this was going to be the last one. Is he going to be good? But he was phenomenal. I won't be surprised if again he shows up. He's a fantastic player. Speaking of players that should they be going to the World Cup or not, Portugal have just been drawn.
Yes. France before that in Group I. Yes.
So of course France and Portugal. I mean, we touched last week on the Cristiano Ronaldo. Sorry, this week on the Cristiano Ronaldo ban, or more specifically, the suspended ban.
Yes,
because he's actually going to the World Cup.
You know,
isn't
suspended
he?
Bans, they happen all the time.
They happen all the time. So Cristiano Ronaldo's Portugal are in Group K, and that means that in Group L, it will be Tom.
Great Britain, no, England.
You had one job.
So that means they'll be playing quite, well, late on in the tournament. They'll be the last group to play, right?
That's right. And it's going to be interesting.
A long wait for us.
It's going to be interesting to see as well what that means in terms of what groups are playing where in terms of location. So the giant stadium, which is in New York, but also the AT&T Stadium, which is in Dallas and Texas. So there's going to be a bit of travel there as well. But broadly speaking, those games in Group L are going to be northeast based. So that feels quite good for us in terms of, you know, look, we're not in Mexico, we're not in Miami,
not too far. Yeah,
I don't know who knows, but
we've moved quite quickly onto pot two, which is encouraging for all of us hungry men.
Yeah,
I think Rio has realised we need to move this on.
we're desperate. Thankfully, I've texted my wife and told her that I'm going to be late, and I've had a thumbs up emoji.
Is that a good sign or a bad?
No, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. It means she understands that there are important things here.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely.
Now, there's some tricky teams in this part.
Tell us about the teams that are in
Croatia,
in this part.
Colombia, Switzerland, Uruguay, Japan.
The kind of teams that you think, oh, they're fine, and then actually, when it comes down to it, they have the quality of a lot of their players playing the big leagues in Europe, and at the same time, you know, have decent squads, but also have that kind of underdog spirit, which is also an absolute nightmare to play against.
Someone like Senegal in that part as well, who have already beaten Tuchel's England. So let's hope we don't get them.
Well, crucially, the only side to have beaten Tuchel's England.
Only side to have scored against them.
Yes, that's correct. So let's hope we...
You're hoping for Iran here.
Yeah.
A repeat of that Iran opener against... that Iran opener in Qatar.
And again, we don't want to keep touching on the new format, but the way that this World Cup is organised, it very much is the... 3 points should get you through.
Yeah.
So you get a win in your first game, and you're right, the group games are slightly dull as a result, but it does mean for England that, you know, if we can just get a nice fixture for those first ones, then that'll be lovely, won't it? So they're about to make the draw for pot two. Teams in this pot are Croatia, Morocco, Colombia, Uruguay, Switzerland, Japan, Senegal, Iran, Korea, Ecuador, Austria, and Australia. I nearly got those two mixed up. So Shaquille O'Neal is taking the first name out of the pot, Tom.
First name out of the pot is the Korean Republic.
Yeah. So South Korea, and they are going to be...
Now, this is where it gets complex.
Yeah, how does this work?
They are in Group A.
Okay.
It looks like, but if the country goes into a group where they can't be in with that team, it will move on. So Canada here can't be with another...
There's no other team in North America, is there?
No, I guess not.
So let's talk about that, though. Mexico and South Korea, that's a lovely pairing, isn't it?
Is that the opener?
Well, yeah, that could well be the opening game.
That feels nice.
That feels very World Cup-y.
I like that. I do.
And so by my reckoning, then, Canada and Switzerland
both
are
red and white flags.
In the same group.
Canada and Switzerland.
Exactly.
That nice? That's lovely. Yeah, what are their kits going to do? Which one's Canada?
They do have away kit.
Is one of them going to wear green or something?
Well, one will wear white, won't they, or something. Canada have quite a nice black
Shaquille
away.
Shaquille O'Neal is struggling to open.
They should have given him bowling balls.
Why didn't we do World Cup draw bingo? Because that would have been right on the top of my list.
Okay, Brazil, Morocco.
Brazil and Morocco. Yeah, what do you make of Morocco and their chances? Because they're one of those teams, again, they've got some very exciting players, haven't they? And they're also sort of very hard to break down the way that they're set up.
Yeah, they are. They're a very aggressive team. I think they surprised quite a few people in the last World Cup it was. I think that it's hard to know where they're at this point. I don't know if their squad has developed much from Qatar. But they're always going to pose a challenge.
Great talents.
Their national food is tagine.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. you know, obviously, they've got Ashraf Hakimi. They've got the likes of Hakim Ziyech.
Quite aging, though.
Yes, but what I'm saying is sort of real talent. Yeah, they've got real talent, haven't they?
It's Australia drawn for Group D. Against the USA.
Interesting.
Goodness me. So USA and Australia. Now, interestingly, a bit of a sort of a random fact that I learnt this afternoon was Tom asked me, why are Australia in the Asian Confederation?
Yes, a good question.
It was. Like, why are they not in...
Yet they're also in Eurovision.
They are.
What continent do they belong to?
Why are they not in the Oceania Confederation? And it basically turns out it's because they were too good. They were absolutely hammering teams 25-0, and they got moved into the Asian Confederation after putting in an appeal to FIFA.
Now it's becoming quite apparent that we're going to get quite a hard draw here.
Looking at the teams that are left over.
Left is Austria, Iran, Senegal, Japan, Uruguay, Colombia, Croatia.
Great.
So if it's not Iran, then I think it's a tough start.
It is.
Ecuador getting put into Group E, and then now Japan being drawn for Group F.
Japan, Netherlands, that feels good, doesn't it?
It does. Again, very World Cup-y.
Very World Cup.
Very World Cup-y. What do you think it is about when I say World Cup-y? What am I talking about?
I think it's very vibe based.
It's so hard to quantify, though.
It's
you know?
Really hard.
Is it just like unlikely pairings, like you wouldn't usually put them together?
Potentially. I think the Netherlands playing anyone feels welcome because of how orange it is.
Yeah. There's something about kits, but I think you're right. There's something about maybe like a sort of a lovely clash of cultures that is very, very exciting.
Iran's gone to Belgium.
Were we worried about Iran?
We would quite like Iran because they're the weakest team in this pot.
Yeah. So Iran are in Group G with Belgium, which feels less World Cup-y than Netherlands and Japan. I'd like the listeners who, if any of you are still with us after however long this podcast has gone on for so far, I'd like you to tell me, what does it mean for a really great World Cup-y fixture? Because I feel like we all know what it is. It's just, what actually
is
it?
It's very vibe-based,
yeah,
isn't it?
Uruguay are right up there, and they've just been drawn, Tom, haven't they? What group are they in?
In Group H, they're with Spain, so it's two Spanish-speaking teams, interestingly. They can't use their language against each other.
Same as
the Americans, the Australians, so the accent's a bit different.
Of course.
They're talking about like thongs that go on your feet and then underwear, then it'll be a different story, but a bit
of a nightmare.
France, Senegal.
Now that's similar.
Nice.
You know, like
today, they're both French speaking as well.
So
this is great.
The fans can shout insults to each other in their own languages. That's lovely.
Can I just say, I did not expect to be this excited about a World Cup draw.
It suddenly got quite exciting.
All of a sudden, looking at these teams, it's got very, very exciting. Yes, so I think like when I think of Spain and Uruguay, just to go back to Group H, I think of sort of real Football World Cup heritage and those really great Spanish teams of the 30s and Uruguay winning the first two World Cups as well. So Uruguay have won more World Cups than England have, Tom.
No, they wouldn't. Did they win the first?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've just seen Austria come out of the pot, Joe.
Yes, Austria going into a group with Argentina. The manager of Austria, of course, Ralf Rangnick.
Yes.
Who had his stint at Manchester United. And Manchester United are probably looking back at those days as the glory years right now.
Quite possibly. But interestingly, he has sort of brought a lot of that, that footballing philosophy. He's brought a lot of that into his style of play, of management at Austria.
He's a very smart manager, and he did a really good job with Austria in the Euros. England are going to draw Croatia. And that does not feel good.
We scared. They beat us one time, didn't they?
Yeah, frustratingly, Croatia are a bit of a bogey side.
Famously, the Wally with the Broly. Yeah. Croatia, World Cup semi-final. Against Croatia.
We can beat Croatia. We can do it.
And I'd rather play them in a group than a knockout.
That is true.
Colombia, of course, going up against Portugal in Group K.
Okay, so we've had now two teams for every group. So Group A is Mexico, Korea. Group B, Canada, Switzerland. Group C, Brazil, Morocco. Group D, US. Oh no, it's gone. Okay.
Group D, US, Australia. Group E, Germany and
Ecuador.
Group F, Netherlands, Japan. Group G, Belgium and Iran. Belgium are called the Red Devils. I don't get that. What's that about? Is that their kit?
I don't know. I don't know where it came from.
Their heritage. Group H is España or Spain and Uruguay. And Group I, France and Senegal. Group J, Argentina, Austria. And Group K, Portugal and Colombia, with Group L being the scariest of all, England and Croatia. Are we not looking on best enough form to beat Croatia?
Well, it's one of those things where, like, I think if we turn up and play anybody and we're 100%, I think we'll be fine. If we turn up and we're not 100%, we will struggle against a decent Croatia team.
Croatia's national food is ketchup, yeah, which is grilled minced meat sausages with onions and flatbread.
Sounds nice, Tom.
England's national food, which is debatable, but from the most googling that I found, roast beef, like roast dinner, is England's national food, with United Kingdom's being the chicken tikka masala overall, which is kind of like you weren't expecting that, were you?
Wow, no.
But there you
not
are.
At all.
So producer Tom has had to leave because he needs to go and check if we're going to get locked in.
This is going to be a close call. It
is going to be a very close call, because this evening is just continuing to go on. This draw is taking their sweet time.
South Africa have been put into Group A, and I actually think that is the first game, because I remember there was chat of it's the repeat of 2010. Opening game.
Okay, that's South Africa versus Mexico.
Yeah, the first game.
And listen, I don't mind it.
Don't hate it at all.
I do not
hate that.
South Africa jumping into Group A.
Are you in favour of a repeat opener?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
You think that's okay?
I think it's okay. Yeah.
Do you not think it would be nice to have its own?
It would be, but you know, look, I would much rather a repeat that's a decent game.
Yeah.
And Mexico, South Africa feels like a decent game.
Feels competitive. Yeah.
So we've just seen Qatar be drawn in Group B alongside Canada and Switzerland. Can I be honest? Looks like a bit of a naff group.
I think I'll be missing that day. Let's hope they're the ones on at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. You'd hope so. In fact, actually, to be fair, especially if Canada are playing more of their games in Vancouver, which is possible, then that could happen. Who's being drawn next, Joe?
Paraguay has been drawn. Now, they can't go into Group C. Can they go into Group C? Because Brazil are there?
You'd have thought not. So you're assuming that maybe they're in Group D with the US and Australia.
Now, that's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Paraguay, I always have those memories of the goalkeeper, José Luis Chelavert.
Yes, what a player he was.
You remember him.
Yes, they have gone into Group D.
That's interesting.
Pochettino looks quite happy with that draw.
Yeah, I think US have got to be really happy. Like Paraguay and Australia, they're not easy games, are they, by any stretch? But equally, you know, in terms of looking at chance, you know, a chance to you know, progress to the knockouts, that's a good draw for them. So the next team is coming out for this will be, I imagine, Group C, depending on who's coming out. Ah, Cote d'Ivoire. So another African nation. So you're assuming they'll go into Group E,
yes,
with Germany and Ecuador.
Gosh, we know what we're doing, Ed. We could run this draw.
I don't think we do. I haven't. I think we're sort of just...
I think we do it a lot quicker than this.
Now, I'm looking ahead to England in Group L.
Yeah,
and I'm looking and seeing,
looking right at Scotland. Aren't we?
I'm looking at Scotland,
and Egypt,
Norway,
Algeria,
and Tunisia. There's some good sides that are still in this pot.
Gosh.
So let's see who's been drawn next, Joe.
Now, interestingly, we can't get Scotland because we've got two Europeans.
That's right. So
we can't get Norway. So that's good.
So that is good, actually. Yeah. We've had our horrible European team already drawn, but that still does leave with a couple of tricky sides from Africa that we could come up against. Who's just been drawn
there?
So
Tunisia has just gone into Group F with Netherlands and Japan.
That's great.
That's nice.
That's a nice, lovely, lovely World Cup group, that is.
Egypt are next to be drawn. They will be going into Group D, I believe.
No, they won't.
Group G.
Group G, yeah.
Group G, that's what I said.
That's right, yeah. Group G, absolutely. Egypt, Mo Salah, again, one of the big talking points is we'll want to see him do really well at a World Cup, haven't we? You know, he's graced the Premier League for so many years now and been such a stunning player. That, you know, we want to see him do well at a World Cup, and
absolutely,
so this is his time.
Yeah, this could be it.
Who's the next team coming out, Joe?
Scotland.
Ah, now
have been drawn. Now they can go in Group C.
They
can. Brazil.
Exactly. That is. Look.
That's nice.
That is. I mean, it's lovely. It's not lovely for Scotland, is it?
It's not.
If it's Group C that they're drawn with.
That's the World Cup experience you want.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Scotland
yes.
are going to be realistic and think they're probably not going to get to the latter stages. So whilst you're there, you want to be playing the big hitters, Brazil.
That's true. And look, you know, against Morocco, you know, McTominay could put in an absolute worldie of a performance. You never know.
Is that Scotland against Morocco?
Scotland. Tom has just come back into the studio. Wonderful. Tom's back in. Tom, you've missed loads of stuff.
No, I'm so disappointed.
Never mind. So Saudi Arabia have just been joined. Have just joined Spain and Uruguay. That feels like quite an exciting group as well. It's I don't know. I'm looking at this and thinking there's a lot of really exciting groups, with the exception of Group B. Unfortunately,
Group B is not the one.
Is Group B obvious? Who's going to win that? Or
Not exciting teams. Load of not great teams.
But doesn't that come with some excitement that they're all kind of on an even
this
bit?
This is it.
A bit rubbish.
It's it.
You
this
know,
is
it's like, who's the best of the worst?
So yeah. Algeria have gone into Group J with Argentina and Austria, Joe. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's also quite a nice group. I think Austria, maybe slightly underrated. Algeria got some nice players.
Now, what this does mean, though, is that even at this stage, England are going to find themselves, I think, with Panama.
I think you're correct.
Yeah, Uzbekistan has just been drawn in Group K. Now, I remember a Panama-England game where we won 7-1. And I remember that because I was in school at the time. And, you do that like everyone takes a World Cup team. Yeah. I got Panama.
Yeah, good. So. Was it 7-1?
I'm just Googling. I think it was 6-1. It was 6-1. We mentioned it about half an hour ago, Tom.
Yeah, never mind.
John,
never mind.
To be fair, you were watching Donald Trump speak.
I was really invested.
It was a John Stones double. A hat trick for Harry Kane, and who got the sixth goal, Tom?
Jack Grealish.
Jesse Lingard.
Oh. never mind.
So with calves like that, he's got to score, isn't he?
you're absolutely right. So Panama come out of the hat now, and hang on.
And Norway's still in there. What does that mean?
Norway can't go into Group L.
So they have to go into Group I.
So yeah, that's right. So
gosh, it's very complicated because this could go quite wrong quite easily, could it?
You'd think so. But yes, so there is the confirmation. England and Croatia and Panama, which feels very England World Cup.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I quite like it. Yeah? I do quite like
it. Do you? Because I don't.
but what if England does really, really well? Won't that be really kind of, we'll be quite confident in that because Croatia's tough.
I just feel like there's so many really great World Cup legacy teams there that we just never get drawn against.
Yeah, you are right.
Anyway.
Who would you have wanted then?
If I could hand pick,
yeah.
I would have an exciting South American team.
Okay.
An Ecuador.
Yeah.
I'd have a team like Ghana.
Sure.
Maybe.
I mean, we still could get Ghana.
We still could.
And that would be a disaster.
We still could get Ghana. And then also I'd sort of quite like another European team. I like England to play another European team.
Okay.
But somebody who's not Croatia. Not that good. Austria, a good shout.
Okay.
That's a decent group, isn't it?
Fun fact about Panama, the national dish, sancocho, which is chicken soup with yams, yucca, cilantro, and corn.
Lovely. Wow.
Sounds delicious.
That's exactly what sounds like a hearty broth.
and I hope they're not being fed it because they might win.
So tell us about Pot 4, Joe.
Well, we only know six of the teams because the other six are winners of playoffs. However, some of them are quite difficult teams. Italy are in there, of course. England can't draw against another European team. Wales are in here. Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland are also in here. So basically, we have no idea who's going to be.
Yeah, if we get one of those playoff teams, we've absolutely no idea. But we are about to start the final bit of the draw, and let me tell you, we've been in here for what feels like 7 hours.
There's so many countries on this piece of paper.
We are ready to go. So
Denmark, North Macedonia, Czechia, and
Republic of Ireland.
So they've been drawn first, and surely they've got to go into Group A.
That is Group A.
Okay. It has to be.
So
England are avoiding those sides there, which they would have done anyway. Yeah, Joe, how do you fit this? This feels like we should have, you know, been sponsored to do this
and raised money
for charity.
This was your idea.
My legs are hurting. I'm ready to never come back on a mic again.
Me too. Yeah, let's never do this again. It's been a good run.
It's been a good run. This is the thing that has killed off the Big Man Up Top podcast.
It's the World Cup draw.
Who's come out next, Joe?
Italy, Northern Ireland, and two other teams:
Wales and Bosnia.
Bosnia and Herzegovina.
That is making Group B a little bit more interesting.
It is, yeah, certainly. Especially now, what I would say is for Northern Ireland or Wales, if they get through those playoffs and they manage to get a trip to the World Cup next year, that is a lovely group for
that's
them.
That's a real incentive, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Can you imagine a Wales, like, you know, having a quarter-final run or something?
You say that, though. They're playing Canada, who are a host. They're going to be up for it. They're playing Switzerland, who are always a lot stronger than you think. And Qatar feels like the easiest game there, but you never know.
You never know. That's true.
It could be tougher than we think.
Yeah, that is certainly true. Tom, who's come out of the hat next?
The next draw is Haiti.
I must say there isn't a hat. Sorry, I should have said.
You mean the translucent bowl?
Yeah. So Haiti are looking like they're going into Group C with Scotland, Morocco, and Brazil. I don't hate that for Scotland.
That's a nice group for Scotland. I think they'll definitely fancy their chance of third. At least, and
you know, again, as we've said before, this format is organized in such a way that one win is almost enough to see you through to the knockouts.
Absolutely. Now Curaçao, where are they from?
Curaçao, or as Wayne Gretzky just calls them, Caraco. Curaçao is a team based in the Caribbean, I believe. Just off the coast of South America.
They're sort of off of Venezuela, the closest South American country to them, I think.
And they've been drawn in Group E with Ecuador, Ivory Coast and Germany. That's okay. A really lovely
that
World Cup
nice.
Group, isn't
that
it?
It's really nice.
Fantastic.
And what's the national dish of Curacao?
I knew you were going to tell me this one.
I thought you had them
all. It's keshi yena. Ha-ha! It's a traditional dish that consists of a large round ball of cheese, typically gouda, that is stuffed with a mixture of spice meat, olives, capers, and sometimes fruits like raisin or prunes. And the next draw is Iraq, Bolivia, and Suriname.
Suriname, yeah. Suriname. Fantastic.
Do we
wow.
have Suriname's flag out, Tom?
I think we do. I'm pretty sure we
really?
Saw
Wait,
we saw it somewhere.
Suriname?
Yeah,
is it behind here somewhere?
I'm pretty sure we Ooh. Saw it somewhere.
Down.
But these groups are starting to take
they
shape
are,
now.
Very much so.
And like look, Joe, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I can see you've got a World Cup grin going
I've just
on.
Seen Group I, Ed, and I quite like it.
Go on, tell me about Group
France,
I.
France, Senegal, Norway, and the winner of Playoff 2.
Which is what?
Iraq, Suriname, and Bolivia. Well, that's a nice group.
Yeah, that's
Cape
good.
Cape Verde have just been drawn.
Okay, Cape Verde, of course, were one of the stories of the qualification with that amazing, amazing route to getting to the World Cup. Very, very excited for them appearing at their first World Cup. Who have they been drawn? What group have they been drawn in, Tom? Do we know?
They've been drawn... Joe, which group have they just been drawn
They've
into?
They've been drawn into Group H with Spain, Saudi Arabia and Uruguay. Another
lovely.
Quite nice group.
Lovely, there. Lovely. And it is one of those weird things where... And you know, we talked earlier in the week about why FIFA have such a stranglehold on this whole process. And it's because of this. Like, yeah. All of a sudden, I am so up for this World
well,
Cup.
This is it. Now you can see what games are actually happening. It's becoming a tournament, isn't
yeah,
it?
And yeah, absolutely.
It's getting exciting.
And here comes Wayne Gretzky with the next pick. Turkey, Romania, Slovakia, and Kosovo.
Yes, of course. Again, Turkey, a real sort of staple of World Cups. You know, you think of the goalkeeper Rushtu. Remember with his
with the little
black tape. Lines under his eyes, yeah. The sort of the war paint. He was always very exciting to watch.
Now, I don't want to be a downer, but I'm looking at Jordan. I'm looking at Ghana. As potential in England's group.
No, three groups left.
Could be tough.
Out of this pot four, they are the difficult yeah. sides. So the winners of...
Four groups left.
The winners of that playoff that we just mentioned with Turkey and the likes in have gone into the group of USA, Australia and Paraguay.
Ukraine, Sweden, Poland, and Albania.
All of them. Yeah, in a weird twist of the format, this group's got nine teams. So Ukraine, Sweden, Poland, and Albania will find themselves...
In Group F
with the Netherlands, Japan, and Tunisia.
Quite nice.
That's another very nice group,
nice.
Isn't it, Joe?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Joe, what do you tend to do when watching a game at the World Cup that England aren't in?
Back to back, watch it all.
Yeah.
Watch all of it. I love it. I mean, this one is going to be different because there's just so many games and they're at ridiculous times. So
we'll see what happens.
But I'll go into it with the intention of watching every single one.
Well, probably. Jordan have just come out the pot. Tom, where are Katie
Price?
Where are no, not that Jordan. Jordan, Jordan, the Middle Eastern nation. Where are they going?
They've gone into Group J for Jordan.
Yeah, good.
Oh, that's nice. That's
yeah,
nice.
And who are they playing in their group?
So that's Argentina, that's Algeria and Austria.
That's again another exciting World Cup group. We're getting Ghana. It's looking like Ghana, unfortunately. I don't mind it, to be fair.
Yeah, it's tasty.
We're down to the last three balls to come out of the pot, and this is the winner of Congo, Jamaica or New Caledonia. Which I didn't even know was a country until today.
Is there an old Caledonia, do you think, or just a new one?
I'm not quite sure.
It's
but
like, is there an East Virginia? Is it just a West one? I know there's a Virginia. It must just be a Caledonia somewhere.
So the winner of that playoff find themselves in Group K with Portugal, Uzbekistan, and Colombia.
So England do have Ghana.
England
New Zealand or New Zealand. There's two left. Group
well,
G and Group
Ghana
L.
Ghana can't be in Group G because of the African.
No.
Of course. So this is it. The penultimate ball is coming. coming out now? Is it Wayne Gretzky again?
It's Wayne Gretzky.
He's been the low-key star of proceedings for me. I've got to be honest, I do appreciate it. Ghana has come out of the bowl, and we're going to see confirmation shortly of England's Group L.
What are your initial thoughts on that group?
Croatia, Ghana and Panama. I think it's up there in terms of one of the harder...
I don't think it could be much harder
It's genuinely. That is a difficult draw. Thomas Tuchel is in the audience and he looks fuming with that.
You go unbeaten, you don't concede a single goal and you get that.
Yeah.
You'd be livid.
That's a difficult group,
really,
isn't it?
Really hard.
But, you know, look, if we want to win the World Cup...
You've got to beat these teams.
We've got to beat the best. You've got to beat everybody.
You do.
You know, so... Let's just have a quick run through of the groups. I can't actually see them.
Can you? Yes. Group A, Mexico, South Africa, South Korea, UEFA playoff D, which could potentially be the Republic of Ireland. Group B, Canada, Qatar, Switzerland, and UEFA playoff A, which could potentially be Wales or North Ireland. Group C, Brazil, Morocco, Scotland and Haiti. Group E, Germany, Ivory Coast, Ecuador and Curaçao. France is in Group I with Senegal, Norway and FIFA Playoff 2. Group H, Spain, Saudi Arabia, Uruguay, Cape Verde, A... Cape Verde. Group F, Netherlands, Japan, Tunisia, UEFA playoff B. Well, Wayne Gretzky did draw that last one.
Yeah.
Group J, Argentina, Algeria, Australia and Jordan to ruin the streak of A's. Very upsetting. Group K, Portugal, Uzbekistan, Colombia and FIFA playoff 1. Group L, England, Croatia, Panama and Ghana.
I like to North Island.
Yeah.
North Island.
Let me tell you, I need to go home, Joe.
Let's call it a day.
But this has been wonderful.
It's been fun.
Thank you, Joe.
No, thank you.
And thank you, Tom, because this experience has been made so much better by you being here.
Thank you.
Sharing with us the national dishes. should we go home?
I think so.
I agree.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.